Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Colossians chapter 4 verse 1 titled Masters Have a Master in Heaven. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order contributions to this ministry by addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the drop-down menu if you are visiting the mobile site. And you can listen to our Bible studies anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to our internet radio station, bbfohioradio.com. We have listeners in more than 100 different countries visiting daily and listening to the Word of God and the great hymns of the faith. bbfohioradio.com. Now we begin our study of Colossians 4:1, titled, Masters Have a Master in Heaven. This is part 1 of 2. All right, we're in Colossians 4. You want to get your King James Bible out? If you have any other version, we'll take that and burn it later. Amen. It did. It did what I designed it. I just forgot I designed it to do that. All right, our current events update this morning is going to seem probably, might seem a little bit, inconsiderate, maybe a little bit rude, maybe a little bit uncompassionate, but I think that it's a strange thing in our culture that when people die, instead of dealing with the issues, everybody plays pretend. And young people without Christ are young people without hope.
Amen.
And if you're raising your children without Christ, you're raising hell.
Amen.
Amen. And that is it happened again this week. Parkland school shooting survivor committed suicide. She survived the Parkland shooting and then committed suicide. Now, their explanation is this PTSD. And there may have been something like that involved, but what is going on in America right now is young people age 25 and younger are committing suicide at an exceedingly high rate, the highest rate we've ever seen. And the news media doesn't talk about it a lot, and the reason is because they're complicit. And we're raising godless children in the public schools and in most of all the homes. There's no God. There's no Bible reading, Bible study, or prayer. And then, so the kids are hopeless. And then if you don't believe there's a God or judgment, and you don't like what life is like, then just blow your head off, man. That makes sense. I don't care what you say. If you don't believe there's a God, and you don't believe you're going to stand before God on judgment day, and you don't like life, then just blow your head off. Get it over with. That makes perfect sense. That's logical. That's reasonable. So what this young lady did was logical. Her shirt says evolution. And her family, whenever I looked up the information of the family, there's no mention about God in their life. And I know the evolution shirt she has on isn't about Darwin, but it's just ironic. Because she's got the word evolution, and that's how she was raised, even though that shirt may have other applications. That's how she was raised. That's what the Parkland kids in that school were taught to believe they're nothing but scum that now talks and walks. Now look at the picture. She's in a lotus position. When you got her hands like this, that is a Eastern meditation, Eastern mysticism, based in a religion that does not believe in a personal God and rejects the God of the Bible. Yoga, for your information, is pagan. Yoga is to prepare you for death by aligning the chakras that are supposed to be in you, and they point to the spine, and it prepares you to die. And so people over here say, well, yoga, I think it helps you calm yourself and relax yourself. You want to go that way, go ahead, but the Bible says we should meditate on the Word of God. Amen. We find peace through Jesus Christ, not yoga. See, yoga is a replacement for Jesus Christ. And a lot of Christians are involved in yoga, and they'll argue with you just like, you know, a lot of other people argue their hang-ups, and then you see them as the days go on. They get further away from Jesus Christ. It's less about the Bible. They feel more comfortable with the world. They feel more comfortable around the liberals, and they just start going right out into the muck and mire, and they won't listen to you when you try to tell them this is contributing, that's contributing, that's what's taking you down that road. Look at this. What's up in the corner? A Buddha. Yeah, that's a skinny Buddha. And all of that with love down in the corner, it's a false love. It's not true love. And when people talk about focus on self-love, which is what all this is about, self-love, that's not true love. True love is outward. True love is up and out. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. See, you don't have to be told to love yourself. You already do. It's called a sinful nature. Amen. And it's all about me, me, me. And true love is up and out. And if you're all about you, 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 there's something wrong with you. Amen? Amen. Now, just as a what? Oh, this thing doesn't work the way it's supposed to, so I have to manually go back. That isn't your fault. Anyway, I'll take your word for it on that. But I posted, this was posted by 10 TV on their Facebook page. I didn't say one thing either way, one way or the other. But I posted, Jesus is the only way, John 14:6. That's all I posted. Within a minute, Gregory Miller, no, it's not. So I post the text, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then all underneath there, I don't want to spend the whole time showing you all the godless Columbus, Central Ohio, and then some from out of town, posting on there, denying Jesus Christ. One woman said, oh, you're telling me no Christians commit suicide? I didn't say that. I said, Jesus is the only way. And I said, yeah, there are Christians who commit suicide. We have a message on that. But it's when somebody has something like a brain tumor or brain injury, or they're on dope that some psycho put them on and it pushes them over the edge. Or, you know, there's always contributing factors, but it's very rare among Bible-believing Christians. Suicide is very rare. Amen. There's a reason for that. Amen. So anyway, this guy posted this. I went out to his page, and sure enough, he's a fruitcake. The first response is from a sodomite to tell me that Jesus is a liar.
Now, did you add the little...
I added the little faces because...
Okay. Did he say that was his boyfriend?
Yes. And his friends and family were all telling him how cute a couple they are. But, Jenny, you don't have to be told that. There's a thing called discernment. I knew it before I went to the page. I actually knew. I knew when I clicked, this is going to be a homo. Go to this page, and boom, there it is.
You can tell by the shoes.
Yeah. So we're studying Romans 1, who changed the truth of God into the lie. Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't know when you see a queer, you don't have any discernment.
Amen.
It's there.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, Steve and I have talked about this because we're in Romans 1, but, you know, the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ right now, they're all in denial.
Yep.
This is a war, Sodom versus Christ.
Amen, brother.
It's Sodom. And the Christians just don't want to believe it. And they want to think that anybody who takes a stand on this is just a wacko. Just far out. And I've been, I'm not the only one, but we've been telling you, the kids are next.
Yeah.
So go out and read Barbara Streisand's twit page, where she says Michael Jackson raping little boys, that's in his DNA. Yeah, she said it. Then she comes back and apologizes, and I had Jenny read it to me this morning, and Barbara's apology wasn't apologizing for saying that Michael Jackson was a pedo by DNA. Her apology was that somebody was offended. It's like a Bill Clinton type of apology. You don't apologize for you abusing power and raping an intern, or if you don't want to call it rape, sexual assault, if you don't want to call it that, it's still an abuse of power. They were misunderstood.
Oh.
Folks, that's Barbara. That's Babs. Barbara Streisand. That's as mainstream America as you can get.
Amen.
They're wicked. Yep. Wake up, American Christians. Yep. Your entertainers are godless devils.
Amen.
Who change the truth of God into a lie. Because they'll stand up here and say, oh, I love God. Thank you, God, for the talent you gave me and for this reward, this award that I got. And now I'm going to slam Trump. That's what they all do. They don't all thank God, but most of them are slamming Trump. Why? Because Trump represents Christians. They don't hate Trump. They hate you, and they don't hate you. They hate Jesus. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. He'll do it to you too.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. I don't care what you profess. You start loving those sodomites, you'll become one.
Yeah.
I got friends that 30 years ago argued with me about how they're friends with sodomites, and that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean I'm endorsing the lifestyle. That doesn't mean, and some of them have gone right down and now are out in the open.
Because
you're not born a sodomite. The Romans 1 tells you how to get there. First, change the truth of God into a lie. You're already on the way to becoming one.
Yeah.
And then Romans 1:32 points out that some of you don't become sodomites if you yoke up with your sodomite friends and sodomite churches and sodomite schools and sodomite family members, and but you get pleasure and you both deserve death.
Yeah.
Romans 1:32. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You stand out there, we stand out there on the streets, we don't stand out there with signs that say, you know, God hates fags or anything like that. We preach the gospel.
Amen.
But you know, that don't matter. They still accuse you of being Westboro Baptist. They call me Fred Phelps. And I don't have hardly anything to do with Fred Phelps. He's an extreme Calvinist. He was a five-pointer plus steroids Calvinist. And he hates the Jews, and I love the Jews, you know. And he said God hates the Jews and all that sort of thing. But that don't matter. All you have to do is preach the gospel. And if you preach the gospel biblically, then you call on men to repent. And when you call on men to repent, they know exactly what you're saying, because Jesus said so in John 3:19. He said that light has come to the, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Amen.
It's not about unbelief like all the heretics are preaching today. It's not about unbelief. It's about their sin.
Amen.
And they love it. They love their sin. So that gets us through our current events update as we jump into our text, Colossians 4, verse 1. So I'll give you a minute if you haven't already turned there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, we titled the message out of the text. Masters have a master in heaven.
Amen.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for those who still hold to the book, still believe the Bible, the King James Bible in English. And we thank you for all the believers meeting around the world today. We're so thankful there is still a remnant. And that's probably the only reason why this country and this world hasn't just gone completely into the sodomite hell that is coming. And we look forward to being taken out of here, Lord, before it gets to the point that it's going to get during that 70th week of Daniel. In the meantime, Lord, help us to stop being so self-centered, to live for you, and wake up every day with a desire to serve you. And help us as we study this important text in Colossians 4. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're just going to read verse 1. And if you missed the last, all the messages through Colossians, but the last two connect to this. We've talked about, actually kind of goes with the last few verses. We started there in verse 18 with wives, verse 19 with husbands, verse 20 with children, verse 21 with fathers, verse 22 with servants. Closed out chapter 3 in our last study. And now we're going to look at masters in verse 1. So read that with me. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And if we did that, if everybody did that, we wouldn't have slavery. We wouldn't even need unions.
Amen.
Wouldn't need unions. And people would love going to work, wouldn't they? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll admit right now that the only reason I loved going to work is because I was in the habit of waking up in the morning and in prayer, reminding myself who my boss is.
Amen.
And if I had to work with those people as my boss, I would have dreaded going into work.
Yeah.
But my boss is a Jewish carpenter.
Amen.
And I worked as unto the Lord. And on days I didn't were the days I hated my job.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. It's very rare that you're not working for the Lord that you're going to enjoy your day at work. Now the word used there, the first word is masters. And people have a real difficult time with that first word because they always think of slavery. And so then I've actually heard preachers say that this doesn't apply. They'll skip this verse because they're like, this doesn't really apply unless you're a slave. And that's not true.
Amen.
Just as a servant is not a slave, master does not always refer to slavery.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Amen.
Master. Even the dictionary, the good ones, 1828 Webster says, a man, this is a master, a man, I guess we could say woman as well, especially in modern terms, who rules, governs, or directs either men or business. If Hillary had won, she would have only been master of the executive branch of our government. See, people got the wrong idea about your president. He's not your master. I'm not going to go in on the politics, but that's just plant that seed right there. Go learn your government. The executive branch is headed by the president. He's not your master. There are three co-equal branches. You know what your master is? A document called the Constitution. And in Christianity, people say, well, I go by what Jesus tells me. You know what Jesus tells you? The book.
Amen.
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 A man who owns slaves is their master. That's true. He who has servants is their master. So right there, he's telling you a slave and a servant isn't the same thing.
Amen. That's right.
He who has apprentices is their master. How many of you? I know we got one here that's an apprentice. We have a president who is had a show called The Apprentice. He who has apprentices is their master as he has the government and direction of them. That's what it's kind of like a noun that has a verb sense to it. The man who superintends and directs any business is master or master workman. That's it. That's a great definition right there. So when you see the word master, you can't just always think of one thing, because there are biblical examples not related to slavery when it refers to master.
Even in, like, you watch Star Wars, they call him Master Jedi.
Now, I have a list in a minute, but if I didn't think about that, I would have put it on my list. Look over at Daniel chapter 4. Now, last week we had Andrew here, and he brought one of his servants with him. And he must have known this message was coming, because he skipped out. Andrew lives a long way. It's hard for him to get here, but we were glad to see them last week. And let's see. I mean, there's at least one here who has some people under his authority as an employer. And I know of at least two, or one watching probably now, and two that watch regular. So there's at least three of you I'm preaching at this morning. Amen? Now you're going to find out this is a message that we all need to get. Daniel 4 verse 9. If you don't remember our studies in Daniel, this was after the temple had been destroyed, the Jews had been taken in to custody and moved to Babylon, and there's Daniel and Azariah, Mishael, and Hazariah, and they... did I get those names right? Wait a minute. Hazariah, Mishael. I got to get it right. I thought those are their Hebrew names. They're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I always try to remember Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So Hananiah was the one I was messing up. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were the kind of the stars of the account given to us by God. And here is Belteshazzar. Who's that? Daniel. That's Daniel's pagan name. And so in verse 9, we're looking at Nebuchadnezzar, who had made this pronouncement that he had a dream, and all of his college professors and political advisors and all those people couldn't help him. And so someone said, well, there's this guy named Belteshazzar. And in verse 9, we read, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. See that? He says, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. It's a great story. You ought to read it sometime. Now, do you think that Belteshazzar, who was Daniel, when he was master of the magicians, were they slaves? No. See, there's one example. So when you think of the word master, anywhere, let the Bible define the word. And if you do that, it'll save you a lot of trouble. Look over in Malachi. Easy way to find Malachi is to find Matthew. It's right before Matthew, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, verse 12. Here's another example. Verse 12. You get there, good, and read it with me. The Lord will cut off... Oh, wait a minute. Two of you are there. Malachi 2. You know, some of you might not know where the Old Testament is. It's before Matthew. Are you there? All right, read it with me. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Now, they didn't have exactly the same setup we do today, but it really is basically the college professor or the seminary professor and his students. Yeah. The master is the professor, we call him today, And up until recently, actually, especially if you were in seminary, your teacher, your professor, would call you a scholar. And he would refer to his classroom as a classroom of scholars. Are the scholars the pupils we would call them today? Are they slaves?
No.
So there you go. And then we'll go one more. Matthew 8. You'll find that the more you understand terms and learn how to define the terms by the Bible itself, the better you will be as a Bible student. And our goal here, I got the wrong. I don't know how I got the wrong reference there. Might have been Mark. Let me look. Another key to understanding the Bible is making sure you're looking at the right place. Give me one. 8:19. That might have been the one I was looking for. I just got the 4 and the 1. There it is. That's it. Verse 19. Thank you. Mariah, is that you? Thank you. Verse 19. Read that. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, unless you're a John MacArthur follower, that person speaking is not a slave. If you follow John MacArthur, and he's not the only one. And a lot of people who should know better, even, you'll find, have taught that when the Bible refers to Jesus as master and us as servants, they'll say you're a slave. Yeah. My Jesus is a Bible Jesus, and he said, I have set you free.
Amen.
Johnny?
Isn't also in that verse right there, isn't the whole field that seemed to be this guy is choosing?
Yeah. Yeah. No chains.
Nope.
Amen. And we talked about examples of contemporary use. So I'll start with Stevens, watching those pagan movies he watches. Master Jedi.
Yes.
That's a joke.
What?
Him being a pagan and watching pagan movies. That's just a joke. I know some people are real touchy about that kind of thing. But as far as contemporary uses of the word master, Master Jedi isn't on the list, but that was one. Masters of the Universe. How many of you watched those cartoons when you were younger?
Yeah.
I guess now they're movies. They got movies out now? Or is that... Oh, I thought they had a Master of the Universe movie. It'll probably... And when it comes out, it'll be all women. Or all women and one homo. That's what they're doing, like Ghostbusters, all women. And what's the... Captain Marvel is a woman now?
Yeah.
She
was a woman in the comics.
Oh, she was? That's how little I know about that stuff. How many of you heard of having a master's degree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does that mean that they get slaves? Congratulations! Now that you have a master's degree, here are your slaves. How many of you mastered the art of something? Oh, I would say about half this room has mastered the art of sarcasm. Or at least you think you have.
I've mastered the art of procrastination.
Yes. I lived with this young man. I can confirm that he has mastered the art of procrastination. Sean?
It seemed like up until about the 1960s, it was kind of common. The thing that comes to mind was there was a movie called Little Master of Fauntleroy, but they used to call him Boys Master.
That was before my time. Can anybody help him?
I was very into
Little
Boys Master. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Here's another one. Is Master Craftsman, Master Tradesman. I think... Charlie, when you finish your program, aren't you going to be considered a master tradesman or a master?
Journeyman.
Oh, eventually, yes, okay.